I'm going to read a few verses out of each chapter. Paul and Silvanus, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all. Now my little message is built around prepositions. And this one is the first one in verse 2. And it is the preposition concerning. It's a little preposition in Greek which means around, where we get the word perimeter from. It's concerning. We give thanks to God always concerning you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us, or concerning us, what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivereth us from the wrath to come. And I will not take time to read in chapter 2, but we'll read in chapter 3. And verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it is, as it came to pass, and ye know. Chapter 4. We take time to read from verse 1. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all, or concerning all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching or concerning brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Verse 13 of chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, that word of is the same word again, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. One or two more verses, verse 9 and verse 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, same word again in some translations, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now I'd like to introduce you a little bit to the Epistle to Thessalonians, especially the young believers. It's a letter to young Christians. It's a letter which speaks of a model believer, and it's a letter which speaks of a model church. Now we think of Thessalonians quite often as an epistle which speaks to us of the coming of Christ. And of course that is true, and we'll perhaps say something of that. It's mentioned in every chapter, and what a glorious hope it is for the church. And that little preposition, we may not get to it, but in chapter 5, but we thank God that Christ died concerning us, and our being with him depends entirely upon his death for us, not upon our faithfulness, but upon what Christ has done for us on the cross. And when he died concerning us. God is interested in everything concerning us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, it says what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the Spirit, after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then that well-known verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He careth concerning you. Everything about you as a believer is of interest to God, and he cares for you. And we remember Peter, when the Lord said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed around you, I've prayed concerning you, that your faith fail not. Now if we thought of a little heading for each chapter, we might think of the Thessalonians in chapter 1 and their conversion. We might think of chapter 2 as the servant and his conduct, the evangelist. In chapter 3, the pastor and his concern. In chapter 4, the teacher and his commands. In chapter 5, we have the Christian and his confidence. And throughout the chapters, we have the Lord and his coming. And now thinking of the little preposition again, in chapter 1, it's concerning you all. I have prayed, or I give thanks to God, always concerning you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And in chapter 2, he says, you were dear unto us. We would have imparted not only the gospel only, but also our own souls. And then we have in verse 9 of chapter 1, which runs into chapter 2, concerning us. And the apostle speaks of his work in Thessalonica and how he came amongst them and how his conduct was so becoming. How bold he was as a lion to preach the gospel. How tender he was as a gentle nurse. And as a strong brother supporting. And as a father exhorting his children. More than evangelist, Paul says, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He had gifts that perhaps very few have. He had the gift of an evangelist. He had the gift of a teacher. He had the gift of a pastor. And how we need these gifts amongst us today. And we trust God will raise them up amongst us. So he said, they themselves report concerning us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. And then in chapter 3, he speaks concerning their faith. Concerning their faith. Now in chapter 1, he says, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. But that's the initial faith. But we thank God there is faith that is progressive. In chapter 3, in chapter 1 of the second epistle, he says, your faith groweth exceedingly, and your love to one another aboundeth. And this is the burden of the first epistle, that their love might abound, that their faith might grow, and of course that their hope might be rekindled, because their hope was dim. And he doesn't thank God of the report concerning their hope, but rather concerning their faith and their love. But they began well. He speaks of their hope in verse 3. He remembered when the gospel was preached how their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed hope the believer has. Now there may be one not saved in the meeting this morning, and we would mention the gospel that Paul preached. And we find from John's epistle that faith in Christ brings new life. He that believeth on Jesus the Christ, or he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. So faith in Christ brings new life. It brings a new beginning. It brings new power. And if you're not saved this morning, well, we trust you will be saved as you put faith in Christ. And faith in Christ brings victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God overcometh the world. And the word Thessalonians means victory. And thank God there is victory for those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you can have a victorious Christian life overcoming the world. The world doesn't believe or submit to the great fact that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe it. We rejoice in it this morning. And we thank God we know what it is to overcome the world. Because our overcoming is tied up in His overcoming. It's mentioned 7 times in John's epistle, overcoming. It's mentioned once in the gospel. The Lord Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And thank God in being linked to Him, we also are overcomers as far as the world is concerned. But also, faith in Jesus Christ brings certainty. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God hath the witness in himself, Holy Spirit. And this is what brings certainty into the life of the believer. So he writes concerning your faith. Now there are 3 things that he speaks of in chapter 4. He speaks concerning discipline. God is the avenger of all such who go overboard as far as the marriage relationship is concerned. We were thinking of a verse yesterday in Hebrews 13. Let marriage be held in honor in all, and the bed undefiled, for whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So Paul is speaking of a walk in chapter 4 that pleases God, a walk in sanctification. And then he speaks concerning the demands of love. And he speaks concerning the dead.
That's one of the main subjects in the epistle, concerning those who are asleep. So there are wonderful subjects in this letter to Thessalonians. And in chapter 4 then, or 5, he speaks of concerning the times and the seasons. The times and the seasons have to do with Israel. The church will be gone, and we will be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ when those times and seasons arrive, when God begins to deal with Israel and the judgments upon this earth in the great tribulation. But thank God that we will not see the day of the Lord as far as being on earth is concerned, and I'm very happy about that. As far as I can understand the New Testament, and even from this very epistle, that the believer will not go through the great tribulation. Chapter 1 and verse 9, we are waiting for his Son from heaven, our deliverer from the wrath to come. And God, chapter 5, has not appointed us to the wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, getting back to the model conversion. In chapter 1, the first thing we notice is the purpose of God in verse 4. Knowing therefore, brethren, beloved of God, your election. So, brother and sister, your salvation was in the mind of God from eternity. God has saved us. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and was manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ. Thank God that he gave himself for us. We are looking for our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So thank God we're chosen in Christ, Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So if God set his purpose and love upon you before the worlds began, then that work will not fail. That purpose will not fail. And in chapter 8 we find that as far as the purposes of God are concerned, we're not only justified, but we are glorified. Whom he called, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. So if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, there's something that follows election. In order for us to be saved, the gospel must come to us. And that's what we read in verse 5, chapter 1. For our gospel came. Now, Paul didn't say, I came. So many make so much of the preacher, the importance of the great servant. But Paul is hidden behind the message. And he said the gospel came, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Now Paul says, I know that you're elect. Now sometimes I wish we could know that everyone who professes was one of the elect. Paul knew by observation. Because he knew by the way the gospel came, he knew by the results of it in the Thessalonian believers, and the change that took place in their life. And that is how we know that a person is truly born again, by the evident change in the life of that believer. So the gospel came, but then we find there's the perception of faith. They received it, they believed it, they turned to God from idols, and they had faith in God. So when the gospel comes, and it came last night, I wonder, was there the perception of faith on the part of those who are not saved? Are you willing this morning to turn to God from idols? Is God attractive to you, the God of glory to whom Abraham turned? Is the cross of Christ anything to you? They didn't lose taste of the idols. They found something more attractive in God and the gospel. And they were able to turn away from idols, serve the living and the true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. Now, the next thing we notice is the practical result. They not only believed, but they were followers of the apostles, the good example of those who brought the gospel to them, and of the Lord. Thank God for those who are true disciples, true followers, true imitators of the example of the believers that are older in the faith. And then they were examples. Verse 7, so that ye were models to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And then there were evangelists. I suppose that's when we're the best evangelists, when we're first saved, because our heart is bubbling over. We're not trying to explain the gospel. We're trying to tell others about the Savior, trying to tell them about the great things that He's done for us. And God is not going to bless merely our explanation of the gospel. He's going to bless our witness to the person of Christ. And they sounded it out as a trumpet. The word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, the place of dearest home, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad so that we need not speak anything further. But, and then, they had a good testimony. Then they were waiting for His Son from heaven. And that's what we're waiting for this morning. Thank God, we're looking for the Savior. This is our expectation. Well, I just finished the meeting this morning by mentioning one or two things about the Lord's coming in each chapter. This is the expectation of the believer. The coming of Christ and the Son of God. Keep this clear in your mind that it's the Son of God that is coming for the church. The Son of Man is in relation to earth. But thank God we are looking for one who is in heaven. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead, concerning the dead, what a comfort this is to those who have lost loved ones. We're going to be reunited. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We sorrow not as others which have no hope. Some of this, those are the saddest words perhaps in the New Testament. There's some that are buried, some that are gone into eternity, and there's no hope. I remember still my mother saying regarding my grandfather, she said, John, just think that he's in hell. No hope. We don't know for sure. There's no testimony. But how wonderful when those loved ones pass on, and we know there is hope. Because we're looking for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these bodies of humiliation and fashion them unto, like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. So we're looking for Savior. The great expectation of the church. And Mr. Harry Bell used to call this here and I enjoyed his points in 1 Thessalonians. He said in chapter 1, it's a heavenly hope. We're looking for the Son of God. In chapter 2, he said it's a happy hope because it's the compensation of the servant. The prize of his coming. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What a prize. Was it Rutherford that said, if one soul from Anwar meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. So I wonder, is there one that we can think of that we have won to Christ that will be our crown and rejoicing in that day? Chapter 3 said it was a holy hope. You don't mind me passing on what someone else has said in the joy of myself. And chapter 4, it's a healing hope. Comfort one another with these words. And chapter 5, he said, it's a healthy hope. Because he said, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in chapter 1, we have the anticipation of his coming. We're waiting for it. We're waiting patiently for the coming of our Savior, the one that we love. And that does away with fear, doesn't it? We're not looking for death. We're looking for him. And we're looking for his coming. And then there's going to be the compensation, as we mentioned, and the prize at the Bema when our Lord returns. And then in chapter 3, it's got to do with sanctification. Because in view of the Lord's coming, we need purity in our lives. We need to develop holiness. That when we are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be able to rejoice in those garments of righteousness. The righteous acts of the saints. So we're developing a character that will be unveiled when the Lord returns. And then association. We're going to be associated with the Savior himself. We're going to be linked with him for all eternity. The Lord himself will appear and we shall be with him. I will come again, he said, and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. There's going to be a return of the Lord. Then there's going to be a resurrection, followed by the rapture of the saints, and then a glorious reunion with our Savior and with our loved ones who have gone before. And then chapter 4 got to do with chapter 5, got to do with our complete salvation. Thank God that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're looking or whether we're not, it's not dependent upon that entirely, although the Lord expects us to be waiting, but we're going to be with him because he died for us. And whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. God bless his word.